Alex, what would you say is most characteristic for Dutch people?
Most characteristic. I think the one trait that we are known for that is pretty accurate is that we always want to be on time, but particularly that we are annoyed if others are not on time.
But you were exactly on time for our interview today.
I think so. And I was actually a bit stressed because I had one important email that I had to send before I got here. And I actually had a little bit of pressure to get it done to be here in time.
And as I told you, I'm learning Dutch at the moment. And what is het belangrijkste Nederlandse word dat ik moet kennen?
I would say that the most important one is gezelligheid.
Ah.
Do you know it?
Really? Gezelligkeit in German, I would say. Being in company or?
Yeah, being in a fun. Gezelligheid is a word that's difficult to translate, but it means having fun, being cozy, being with people that you enjoy, and having a nice time.
Yeah. You know what? You couldn't have said a better word. I really like that's het is really it is leuk.
Yeah, it is leuk.
Crowdworking.nl, the podcast for job seekers who are looking for personal development and a job in the Netherlands, where they honestly say, thank God it's Monday. Here's your host, Heiko Link.
Alex van Gerdrop, very welcome to my show. It's nice to have you here, and you work for OostNL, and your job is a project manager tech. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Heiko. Thank you.
Alex, for the beginning, what is OostNL, and what is this company doing?
OostNL is a regional development agency, officially, and that doesn't say anything, of course, but we are an organization that is funded by two provinces, so Overijssel and Gelderland, and those are the two provinces in the eastern part of the Netherlands. And basically, our goal or mission as an organization is to help companies in the eastern Netherlands to grow, to become more competitive, and to be ready for the future. And we do that with three departments, one business unit called Capital, they invest in companies to grow. One business unit, International, they try to get other companies to locate here in the eastern part of the Netherlands. And one unit, Innovation, and that's the unit where I'm working at. And we try to strengthen the innovative power of the companies in this region.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is your job?
My job, as you said, is a project manager of the technology department. And I try to strengthen that innovative power of the companies. We do that, or I do that, but with my colleagues on two levels. On the one hand, we are in contact with companies themselves, and we discuss with them what the developments are for the next couple of years. So we want to know what they are developing, what their future ideas are, and then we discuss with them how they can execute those ideas. So we try to help them in the process to find the partners, to find the funding, and to build up towards that innovation project. And the moment that that project starts, then our role is over. So we help in the preparation of the development. And the other level is that we try to strengthen the system in which those developments take place. So we try to make sure that the provinces put the funding in the right areas, that we try to get our position as a region in Europe to be favorable so that companies who for example, we have a relatively strong manufacturing industry, so that we are known in Europe to have that, so that organizations that want to do a European project have a better chance of getting it. So we try to build the system around it. So those are the two levels that I'm working on, and still pretty abstract, of course, but to give an example, which might also be relevant for you, one of the projects that I'm working on is a Dutch-German innovation program where we submitted a proposal to Europe to get funding, about 10 million euros. And we used that funding to ask to challenge companies to come up with innovation projects where they would invest half and we would invest the other half, as long as it were projects on key enabling technologies and it would be a Dutch-German collaboration. So always a Dutch company, a German company who would be working together on those innovation projects. And that's our role. So we manage those kind of programs. That's one of the examples.
Mm-hmm. And is it all about technology?
No. From our organization, we focus on different domains, so health, food, energy, and technology. Okay. But I'm in the team for technology, so we have a bit of a stronger focus on that aspect. But also technology is always just an instrument. So it's always the case, where are you going to use it? And that can be in any kind of domain or any question or any societal challenge.
Mm-hmm. And what the thing you do is a lot of talking, I think. It's planning, it's analyzing the markets, or what if you use verbs to describe it, like we have a camera filming you without any sound. So what would I see? What are you doing?
Yeah, mostly you would see me talking or typing. So
talking without sound, yeah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be that much of a movie, I'm afraid. But in general, I think we would be, most of it would be talking to the companies to see where their challenges are and how we can help fix them. But I'm not, my background is not it's not in technology, so I've studied in business administration. So we are more of the spin in the web, the central player who tries to bring people together, to bring organizations together, than the ones who fix the problems ourselves. We try to help make sure that we get the right people in who can fix them.
Okay. So that leads us to the next question. How did you get this job? And by the way, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm 33 years old right now. So, I got this because my previous job was at the University of Twente, and they were heading were building a collaboration between several groups from the university and several companies on the field of robotics. And they were looking at how can we use the knowledge that is being researched in the university and in the Applied Science University and make sure that it is used by the companies to build products or to improve the processes or whatever. And I was working there for a little while, and it was about 2 years, and it was very interesting, and you get to see a lot of research on what is happening there. But it was also a bit exhausting because you're always pulling. Hey, you're working for a collaboration, so there's not one boss, but you have to keep everybody happy and you have to get everybody's input. And that was difficult at times. So during that time, I came into contact with Oostenaal, who were also involved in technology and how to get that at the companies. And that was a nice combination. So I figured I would try and transfer to Oostenaal at some point, because that was a bigger organization. There are about 170 people working there, and it would be a more a broader variety of topics where we could work on. And a bit, I think for myself, the focus is a bit stronger on the companies instead of the universities, which suits me a bit better.
Mm-hmm. So you found your job via networks?
Yeah, I found my job through the network that we gained in the past years.
Okay, not via CV and application writing stuff.
Yeah, no, it was an open job description, so was a standard procedure. But I knew the guys I was interviewing with beforehand, and although they didn't say it, it helps, of course, if they know you and know what you can do, and that they already have a bit that you have a connection.
Yeah. Okay. What do you like most about your job? Did you already answer that? Or is there something else?
No, I didn't. I think what I like most is the direct contact with the guys, with the entrepreneurs who are really enthusiastic. And especially with the startups often the younger guys who have thought of something and who are really investing their energy, the time to get it going, and who really believe in it. I think that's the most fun. But if I take a step back, I think the challenge of working in an environment where we're also looking at the European connections and how that fits strategically with the region's ambitions and all that complex stuff, which is also something that I'm still learning a lot about. It's also very interesting that the challenges that brings. So I think those two aspects are the most interesting, the direct context and the strategic aspects of the job.
I think you know the C-spot in Enschede.
Sorry,
the C-spot in the founder's place in Enschede.
No, I don't. The C-spot.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you have to go there. That's the first thing that came into my mind when I heard you talking about entrepreneurs and keeping it going. And
I'll check it out. I didn't know about it, so I'll have to check it out today.
Well, it's a great place. What do you like least about your job?
Good question. I think occasionally the thing I like least is that we often try and help companies to build something. And they have an idea and they want to build it, and we're working together with them to make sure it becomes a reality. And then right at the moment when all the building blocks have been gathered, we have to let it go. So we can only help them until the start of a project to that point. And then when they have the financing, they have the partners, they have everything they need, then it's up to them. And I think for me, that is one of the frustrating things. You want to keep it going and you want to be involved at that point as well. So that's the most frustrating point, I think, of my job.
So you are not allowed to stay longer with them, or is it that's the procedure like?
Yeah, that's the procedure, like, and there's an official reason behind that. Because we are a semi-public company, we can't interfere with any activities that are also commercially active, because then you would have a competitor problem. So we can only work at the places where that's not the case, and that's at the front of those projects. And it's very interesting, but you want to continue. When you have a project and, for example, when there's something happening in a healthcare institution and you've helped to bring it to the start line, you're very interested to see what will actually happen and how you can help to improve that. And that's the biggest downside to this kind of job.
But well, from a distance, you can still follow them.
Of course. Yeah. And they will often keep you in the loop and keep you informed. And that's the connections are almost always good. So that's something. But it could be more, and that's perhaps for the future.
What kind of changes will be in your job within the next 5 years? What do you think?
Yeah.
So not your job in general and in special, but more like the field, the area you're working in, you know?
Yeah. What we are currently seeing is that that there is a lot of emphasis from the European Commission that they want companies to think more international, to think more on a European level. So I think when we look at my colleagues and others who have similar jobs like me, that they will broaden their scope a bit. So currently Europe is trying to make sure that each region specializes, that they say, we are good in these types of things. And if you want to learn about these things, and you need to go to that region or that region. And that means that I think for us as well, that we will need to have a broader scope and be able to see what is happening across the borders and not just in our own backyard. And that will be very interesting to see if that works. But the borders that are getting thinner, and there are also a lot of stimulations, also financially, to try and strengthen those connections. So for my kind of work, the scope will be broader, probably.
So for people who would like to work in a job like you do, what kind of skills do they need to cope with these changes?
In general, I think it's important that the first one is, but that's important for almost every job, is that you have an open mind and that you keep on trying to grow and develop yourself. But that's almost for everything. So I think in this case, what's important is that you are open to the differences in the cultures, because we are often very used to working with similar minds, right? So from as we grow up, we're always with people in classes, in jobs, with people from similar backgrounds, and at least in the early years. And even when we're adults, in my case, I work together with about 170 Dutch people who are for the most part from the same province as I am. And if we need to go to expand a few, then you get in a place where there are a lot of differences between the people and between the way they are working. So if you want to do that in an effective way, it's not that difficult, but you need to make sure that you're not too rigid. So the flexibility is important, I think. And for the rest, I think a lot of people can do a lot of jobs as long as they have the discipline to keep investing and to make sure that they keep on learning. And I don't really believe for the types of jobs that I have that you need one specific skill. So it's difficult if you're a programmer, of course, when you need a certain IT skill or anything like that. But I think in my kind of jobs, the generalist kind of job, that it's most important that you have the discipline to keep on developing yourself and to stay open for new experiences and new skills.
And if I would like to work in the Netherlands as a German, how important is it that I speak a more or less perfect Dutch from the beginning on? Or is it fine if I say, like, I'm learning?
No, I think in general it will be fine if you're learning. So it kind of depends on what kind of jobs you do, and the higher skill you have, the less important it is to know fluent Dutch. But in general, we're a small country, and almost every of our large portion of the Dutchies knows a good bit of English and a decent amount of German. Although if you are in the border region, a lot of the older people will know German, but the youth will know it a bit less. But it's not a problem if you don't speak Dutch yet, I think. It's more important that you're open to learn it. And especially if you speak it a little bit, then that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah, well, when I went to the C-Sport, I had an event there, and they did it in English because it's an international place. And then afterwards, they were in groups, like, and you had two groups there placed, and one was talking English because I was in the group. They went home, and I went to the other group, and they were talking Dutch. And that's clear, absolutely fine, you know, I would have done the same. So, you know, but then it's quite good if you want to go into the talk. Like, I think you have to understand it at least, and then you can say, like, an English sentence if you're not confident about speaking yet or something like that. You know?
Yeah, that's always good. It's always appreciated if you try to do it in Dutch when you can. And it's not a problem at all in most circumstances when you do it in English or even German, because the languages are similar, of course.
Well, you don't want to be an arrogant guy, like coming with German and then expecting everybody speaks German. What kind of Dutch companies are looking for German employees?
Well, it's a general question, of course, so I have to get a bit into the stereotypes. But Now, what Germans are known for is their gründlichkeit, their attention to details and making sure that something works. So what we're seeing, at least in my experiences, is that companies are interested in German people with a technological background, in IT or in or other technologies. And in general, also besides that, it's a plus point if you just mention that this is one of the things that you're strong in, because I think the stereotype for Dutch people is that we always want to have a say. So it doesn't matter if you're the junior or somebody with 50 years of experience. When there's a meeting, you have an opinion, and you state it, whether it's founded or not. And in the stereotype from the German side that we have, at least, is that you say something when it has an added value, and that you say something when you are really sure about it. So I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but it's definitely a skill that a lot of companies do not have and could want. So if you're suggesting, or if you're looking for a place at a Dutch company, I would use that as one of the distinctive features why it's better to have somebody from Germany in your company.
It sounds a bit like the Dutch people are just guessing.
Yeah, no, they often are, I guess. So
I guess, yeah, here we go again.
Yeah. You mentioned something beforehand, that your quote about from Jan Oosterbrink about swimming by learning or by first practicing it at the beach and then
Well, we have to give that quote again to for our listeners who heard that, didn't hear that before we start. So I found a quote from Jan Oosterbrink after I made the podcast with him, and he said that in the Netherlands, you get pushed into cold water and learn to swim. In Germany, you learn the technique how to swim on a safe place like the beach, and then you get in touch with real water. Like
exactly that. So I actually heard it from another side. Yeah. So we have those Dutch-German programs, and occasionally we also have an afternoon where we bond and share cultural differences, etc. And there's also one exercise where we have to build a bridge from Lego bricks or something. And the anecdote that we always hear is that every Dutch group just starts, and they build, and it falls apart, and they try again, and etc. And the German group designs it, comes to an agreement about how it should be, builds it, and it works. But in the end, both take about the same time and get about the same result.
Okay, do you know what? I have got a big problem now. Yeah. I just like the Dutch way, you know. And, and if I would come to the Netherlands and have to do the German way, I would hate it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I would say, like, no, just start building. I hate this fucking discussing about what could we build, and then start agree about something and start. And
yeah, that's also my opinion. Just start, and it's also more fun that way. Eh? You see where the chances are.
Yeah. So, but I don't want to, you know, I want to get rid of the German way.
Yeah. You want to, you have to change your nationality.
Yeah, well, if you employ me and you expect to be like a German, and I come over expecting I can work like a Dutch guy, we have got a problem here. Okay, so any advice for Germans who want to work in the Netherlands? Stay like you are, or no, we don't want to.
No, I don't know. No, I think
just escape. We want to escape from the German culture. No, you have to stay like you are.
No, Germans are more than welcome. Now, I think I've been working a lot with Germans in the past few years, and I think each and every one of them has been truly fun to work with. And in general, the Germans also have asked us that they find it pleasurable to work with us because, again, with a stereotype, but that the Dutch meetings are also always have something that's a little bit fun at the end, eh? Whether it's drinks or some kind of activity or etc. It's not just about work. It has to be work, but then we do something to make sure that we're a team or something like that. So we have some partners who will always say, no, it's fine if you do a project we're in, because we know that afterwards we can have a party, and that's nice. So we want to be there.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
This is... But so, I would have loved...
What was your question?
What question? Let's have a drink. Yeah. Do Dutch and German employees have a different attitude regarding work?
I think both take it pretty seriously. So I think both Dutch and German workers are very good at their jobs. Hey? They make when they say we'll do something, they make sure it's done. And Germans have that a bit stronger even than us, because I think on the Dutch side, we often say, no, we'll do it, but it gets lost in all the excitement. While on the German side, if you said you'll do it, you'll do it. So that's a plus from the for the Germans. What's one of the?
And do you know why that works? We don't have the excitement. We just do the work. It has to be done. There's no excitement. We're not going to lose it.
Work is work, not a playground.
That's what I say.
Yeah. No, so that, and I think the other one that I noticed and is that from the German side, it's stronger from the role. So if I'm the project manager, I'm the project manager, and if there are people there with more experience or more knowledge on the topic than I, then they'll say that if I ask them. But if as the project manager, you say we go right, then we go right. And on the Dutch side, if you do that, then you really have to convince your other members to go there. You have to explain to them why you chose that way and what the reasons are. And if they believe you, then we'll go right. And in Germany, it's a bit more clear. Eh? You're responsible. So you say, we go that way, so we go that way. So, and that's a different way of working.
Don't ask any questions. And thinking is something you're doing at home. But not at home office.
I wouldn't state it like that, but maybe. But no, but that's definitely a difference that we notice. So it's what I mentioned before. Everybody on the Dutch side is allowed to have an opinion on something. And sometimes that also goes a bit too far.
Sounds like paradise, yeah. but what are the bad things if I come to? I've heard that it's easier for a German to work in the Netherlands than the other way around. But there must be a disadvantage. There must be something that's causing problems for German people.
A disadvantage to working in the Netherlands.
Yeah, for a German.
For a German, difficult. I think it may be, but that's probably not a disadvantage for you then, but it will be expected for everybody, whether you're German or Dutch, that you contribute during every meeting. So it's not just meant to inform you, you are always expected to contribute something, your opinion, your facts or a different view, etc., what your perspective is as somebody from the outside, from a different culture. And is that a disadvantage? Perhaps not, but it is something that I think people are not always used to, at least something out of their comfort zone. And one of the other things that might be a bit more Dutch than German is that we often don't have our own offices anymore. So we work on these floors, big floors with everybody in contact. And the idea is that allows for better collaboration. You have no closed doors, so you can just talk to your neighbor, ask quick questions, etc. And it's fun, it's nice. But you no longer have your own office at which you can concentrate, at which you have your privacy. So that might also be a disadvantage. And that's one of the things that I think people will also have to get used to.
Do you think that you will keep that in the future?
Those big open floors?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, but that's also because they're, for organizations, they're cost effective because you don't have to do a private office for everybody. Yeah. But I think for us, at least, probably the same for you, we're working a lot from home and I can't imagine that won't have an effect on the offices. So I think we will have smaller buildings anyway. Because if anything, in the past year, everybody has proved that we don't need to be in the office as much as we always thought that we needed to be.
Mm. I spoke to a Dutch guy, and that was before the lockdown, and I said, can we meet, you know? And he said, well, I would have invited you to our office, but we have been working. That was between the two lockdowns in last year, March, something like that. And suddenly he said, I haven't been in the office for such a long time. We don't have the office anymore. It's
really?
Gone. Like, so everybody's working from home also in the future. We pay a lot of money for it, like, and we now notice we don't need it.
Yeah. Strange, right?
Strange.
But, yeah. But that's for me, that would also be difficult because I found it, we'll do it and we'll get through these past months, but it's difficult to concentrate fully for weeks upon end without leaving your office or without seeing your colleagues. So somewhere, a place where you can meet and where you can be, is also has a certain attractiveness for me.
Yeah. Well, if I try to find some positive aspects of the things going on at the moment, like is maybe it would be easier for commuters, like living in Germany, working for a Dutch company, and then you can be part-time be in Netherlands and part-time working from home, even if you don't live 5 minutes away from the border, like, you know.
Definitely. I think a lot of companies will go towards a model where you only have to be at the office like 1 or 2 days per week, just so you can keep in touch. And if you just have to go to 1 or 2 days per week, then it's not a problem if you have to drive 90 minutes or even 2 hours, eh? If it's just once. So that will be a huge benefit. And I think that will also be of great benefit of people who want to keep living on the one side of the border and want to work somewhere else. Or even if they, and perhaps there will even be a lot of new companies who say, let's just work digitally completely. Like the one you mentioned before, that just stopped having their office.
Yeah. Well, as my last question, I've been working in home office for 15 years now as a self-employed guy. And I had people saying like, oh, how can you manage that? Like being on your own the whole day. Yeah. And I had a lot of networking events, and there, that's where I met people, like, you know, and now I noticed, that's how I made it. I never thought about it. How do I make it? You know, I talked to a lot of colleagues and friends and customers on the phone, like, and I went to these networking events, and I'm the networking kind of guy. And is there any networking networks that you would recommend or you should know as somebody who is interested in working in the Netherlands?
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of networking events. I'm having a bit of trouble trying to name just a few, but there are networking events, I think, for even Dutch German, for working across the border in Germany or in Holland. I'll see if I can find a link later on. But yeah, there are a lot of networking events, both for people who are just seeking jobs or if on specific domains. So if you're interested to just see what robotic technologies, for example, can do, there are networking events on that. And not specifically to find a new job, but to see what is happening, who are there, what companies are there, and are those interesting companies for me to join. So perhaps that could also be interesting for people who are looking at a job, not just look for the networking events at job fairs or something, but try to look at the specific domain networking events and see if you can be there just to see what is going on and if that's interesting for you and meet the right people, of course.
Yeah, sometimes we have an event like somebody is telling something about a certain topic, like for an hour or 2 hours or something like that. And then you have like finger food and something to drink and talking and exchanging, like, and then
exactly.
Other people. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So there are quite a lot of those around, but you have to know where to find them. So that's just finding the right website. We have a lot of small organizations in the eastern part of the Netherlands. So for example, if you're interested in doing something in health, there is Health Valley with a lot of networking events that you can just attend to see what is happening, or Food Valley, where we have a lot of valleys because Silicon Valley is so hip. So we've copied that name for a lot of things. And if you're interested in those kind of things, you can just try and find those kind of organizations and see what they are doing. And like I said, it might just be in first glance to see what companies are there. That gives you an idea of who does what and what could be interesting for me. But it could also provide you with a network that could be interesting.
Well, I try to find them in the internet, like searching. Yeah, but it's hard to find them if you don't know the Dutch keywords. Like, so if we have one or two examples later on for the show notes, it would be great.
Yeah, of course. I'll try to. I'll try to find them to send you those later on.
Or just the index. I can search on my own, of course. But if you give me the name, not too langsam praten. Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Alex, it was great to have you there. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Thanks a million.
Yeah, thank you for being here. It was fun to do something like this.
Yeah. If somebody thinks this is a nice guy and his company sounds very interesting, I would like to have a look at it, contact him. Do we have a website where we can, for the show notes, of course, where we can get in touch with you and you would like to mention here?
Of course. Now, if people want to contact me, they can do it so at through oostnl.nl. So it's the website, but also through email or something. I don't know if you can share that on your website, so that's no problem.
Yes. Okay, I will do that.
You would love to work in the Netherlands and find a job that you like so much that you can't even wait until it's Monday? Then don't hesitate to book coaching with Heiko Link via www.crowdworking.nl.
Well, great. We spoke about a little backstage area at the end. My plan was to ask you about stereotypes Dutch people have about the Germans.
Yeah.
But we already spoke about it.
Yeah. It came up, of course. But you, when you talk about the Dutch-German differences, etc., you're forced to talk about stereotypes. But I think we have one part in particular. It's a 5-hour drive to get to any meeting location that we have for the project. And he always says, no, it doesn't matter. Just make sure he comes. I'll bring my colleague and my colleague will drive and I will sit in the car and do work for those 5 hours. And then we can be there. We have a meeting for 1 hour and then we have beers and he's happy. So that's always the stereotype that he has at our meetings, that afterwards there's also always bitterballs, cheese and beer, something like that.
There's always what?
Bitterballen. Do you know those?
Bitterballen? Ah, yeah. That's something to eat, yeah.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the finger food, but it's a...
The finger food, yeah.
It's a specific Dutch thing. And not cheese, of course, which is always a nice on a platter there. And a few beers.
Cheese and a few beers, okay. And it's called bitterballen.
Yeah, bitterballen, if you want to know the Dutch cuisine, that's really the thing that you will always get after each networking event.
Okay. I want a comment from everybody who listened to the podcast and tasted a bitterballen. So if I can go back to your country, I will see if I get one.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you. Good.
Yeah, you're welcome.